Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is July 12th, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Michael A. Weinberg reported in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Facebook group that his father, former CME Chairman Michael Weinberg Jr., has passed away. The elder Weinberg was the second Michael Weinberg to serve the exchange as chairman, the only father-son combo to do so, as his father had held the position in the 1950s. Weinberg, whose badge was Mike, was a member for 37 years, from 1954 to 1991. He spent most of his time trading pork bellies in the third option month. He also headed the family clearing operation, Weinberg Brothers. His grandfather, Max, was a founding member of the exchange. I asked CME Group Chairman Emeritus Leo Melamed for a comment about Weinberg, and this is what he shared. Michael Weinberg Jr., a very bright member of the Merck whose family dates back to the butter and egg days. He was hugely knowledgeable and whose father was also once chairman of the CME. Michael was the soul of discretion and a truly huge supporter of my launch of the IMM, offering advice and friendship which I could always count on. Weinberg succeeded Melamed as chairman of the CME in January of 1972, after Melamed had served for 3 years. Here's an interesting fact from a Chicago Tribune obituary about Michael Weinberg's father, published in 1991, about when Weinberg's father became the chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in 1954. In 1954, Weinberg's father was the youngest person ever elected president of the Butter and Egg Board, which became the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where he served as chairman from 1955 to 1957. The CME Group announced that it is amending CME and CBOT Rule 524, which is about things called TAS, BTIC, and TACOs. The CME is adding a new acronym to the rule, the TMAC. TAS stands for Trading at Settlement, and BTIC is Basis Trade at Index Close. A TACO is Basis Trade at Cash Open, while the new TMAC is not a famous basketball player, Tracy McGrady, but rather Trade Marker at Close. I am working to set up an interview with the CME to explain the TMAC better, but it seems any related delta near or at expiration. In the meantime, you can learn more about TMAC from the CMAC's TMAC FAQs, which we have a link for in today's newsletter. This is what the CME Group says about TMAC. Access equity index futures close with greater certainty using TMAC, which utilizes the respective index futures fixing at 4 p.m. Eastern Time daily as the marker against which all trades are priced. TMAC allows market participants a way to trade futures at a spread to this marker and is available on four major equity benchmarks beginning July 31st. TMAC is pending regulatory approval. Here's the most bearish headline for cryptocurrencies I could have written. It is a story from Bloomberg titled, Tech Investors Bet on AI, Leave Crypto Behind, with the subheading, Funding for Crypto Startups is Plunging as VCs Embrace Artificial Intelligence. Don't forget the STA's 90th annual Market Structure Conference is just 3 months away. This year's conference is October 11th to 13th at the JW Marriott in Washington, D.C. The latest LinkedIn post from the SEC Historical Society shares that this week in 1940, the SEC began enforcing a long-ignored rule prohibiting members from trading listed stocks off the exchange. This touched off years of contention between the SEC, convinced the restrictions imperiled regional exchanges, and the NYSE, which called the practice one of the pillars of the exchange. You can learn more with the link in today's newsletter. If you've been paying attention, you've noticed that pre-owned watches are a big thing these days. There's even a market for them called Chrono 24 GmbH, which is in the news in a Bloomberg story because football star Cristiano Ronaldo has invested in the watch trading website for luxury timepieces. Colin Lambert is back with the full FX podcast in a chat with Sam Horowitz from the CMC Markets about the always challenging world of FX data, especially amidst long-term changes in volume patterns. I have been labeled an original gangster kilt wearer by FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan in a post on LinkedIn thanking Julie Ross and me for the video interview she did with him in London at IDX. I have never been called an OG before. I have never felt this hip since I had my hips replaced. Net zero. Target setting guidance for exchanges framework, known as the framework, has been approved by the UN Climate Exchange high-level champions overseeing the Race to Zero campaign. The framework is a roadmap for capital market infrastructure operators to align their operations with the goals of the Paris Agreement and help markets address the climate crisis. A collaboration of 56 experts from 28 organizations, the framework sets ambitious and credible net zero targets. Signatories include Cboe, Deutsche Börse, Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing, Johannesburg Stock Exchange, London Stock Exchange Group, Luxembourg Stock Exchange, and SGX. Learn more and view the framework on the Sustainable Stock Exchanges Initiative website. There's a link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were Activision Options bet pays 246% in an hour after merger cleared. Tom Hutchinson, Open Outcry Traders History Project, John Lothian News, Part 2. Inflation data isn't as anxiety-inducing for traders these days. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a podcast interview I did with Guy Cohen. Option volatility indicator developer Guy Cohen talks to JLN about the OVI, his career, and building a hedge fund. Guy Cohen was interviewed by John Lothian, that's me, of John Lothian News about how he found his way to the markets, about his best-selling option books, which are on every trader's shelves, and on the Options Volatility Indicator, a patented tool to help traders make sense of options position-building activity. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. We also have part three of our Tom Hutchinson Open Outcry Traders History Project video. In part three of the JLN Open Outcry Traders History Project interview with Tom Hutchinson, the founder of Belvedere Trading, Hutchinson spoke about how he worked the brokers in the trading pit to get them to look his way more often. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, scientists close to proving Earth has entered man-made Anthropocene era. Science believe they are on the brink of proving the Earth has entered a new era for the first time in 11,700 years, with the advent of the Anthropocene epoch, or the point when humanity's influence on the planet's geology becomes irreversible. A small lake in an area outside Toronto has been identified as the site to provide the formal reference point for the new era after extensive research by the International Anthropocene Working Group, made up of geologists and historical scientists. My comment: now I'm going to have to learn how to say Anthropocene. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline: there's so much milk that U.S. farmers are dumping it in the sewer. Processing plants in the Midwest have run out of capacity at a time when cows are making more milk than ever before. There's more milk than ever in the U.S., but nowhere left to process it, forcing farmers across the Midwest to pour excess dairy down the drain. The Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District's wastewater treatment system has been handling increased volumes of milk, a spokesperson confirmed, though he couldn't verify how much. My comment: this reminds me of the good old days when the farmers would flood LaSalle Street with milk in front of the CBOT and the CME to protest low milk prices. Here's another story. Vermont Capital submerged in floodwaters with dam on verge of capacity. A dam upstream from the Vermont state capital was holding at maximum capacity on Tuesday after catastrophic flooding shut down the roadways leading out of Montpelier and trapped people in their homes. My comment: anyone have a gondola? Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was Rolling Stone's The Trillion-Dollar Grift Inside the Greatest Scam of All Time, about the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP. Second was A Path Forward for Regulating Crypto Markets by Jay Clayton and Timothy Massad in the Wall Street Journal. Third was a tie between WH Trading spawned a social justice phenomena in My Block, My Hood, My City, a podcast by John Lothian, that's me, in JLN, and My Block, My Hood, My City hosts massive youth meetup downtown Saturday from Block Club Chicago. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from Bloomberg, the headline: how a £10 billion tax trade unraveled for a commodities house. ED&F Mann's short-lived embrace of dividend arbitrage made the company millions and dragged it into a slew of litigation. When UK regulators fined ED&F Mann Holdings for generating billions of pounds of illicit dividend tax deals, they zeroed in on an individual identified only as Senior Manager A, who was a controlling mind behind the scheme. That matches the description of Mark Whitehead, a former trader at Merrill Lynch & Company and MF Global Holdings, Inc., who joined ED&F Mann in 2012 and oversaw the commodity firm's entry into so-called Cum-Ex trading, according to legal filings and people familiar with the matter who requested anonymity because some of the details are private. His small team brought in £129 million, that's $158 million, of revenue in just 3 years and drove profit at the firm's newly created capital markets unit. The next story is from the Financial Times. The headline: BOE says one of the biggest risks to UK financial stability lurks in the US. The Treasury basis trade is back, baby. The Bank of England's latest financial stability report landed today with the main conclusion that UK lenders are in decent shape, but there was a fascinating, more unnerving nugget buried in the report. The UK Central Bank reckons that one of the biggest vulnerabilities of the global financial system is a US hedge fund trade that is staging a comeback after nearly blowing up the Treasuries market in 2020. And then finally, here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: Merrill Lynch to pay $12 million for failing to file hundreds of suspicious activity reports. Anti-money laundering rules require broker-dealers to report to regulators on transactions over $5,000, but Merrill's parent used a $25,000 threshold since their tie-up. Broker-dealer Merrill Lynch has agreed to pay a total of $12 million in fines to regulators for failing to file about 1,500 suspicious activity reports over more than a decade. Under U.S. anti-money laundering rules, broker-dealers like Merrill Lynch are required to file suspicious activity reports to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network on transactions above $5,000 when they might signal criminal activities, such as tax evasion, to assist U.S. government agencies in detecting and preventing money laundering. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.